Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The latest repeal and replace bill for the Affordable Care Act could come up in the Senate next week. Democrats and other defenders of the Obama health care law are applying as much pressure as they can to get Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski to vote no. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
Murkowski hasn't announced how she'll vote on the latest bill, known as Graham Cassidy. But she was one of only three Republicans to vote against the last health care repeal bill, so she seems one of the most likely of her party to vote no again. Another factor? Governor Bill Walker just signed a letter asking Senate leaders to dump Graham Cassidy. Reporters asked Senator Lindsey Graham what he thought of that.
I don't know the governor of Alaska. Here's what I would tell him. If you think you don't like this bill, just watch what you're getting coming, pal.
Graham says his bill would send money directly to the states with a lot more flexibility. And he predicts the Obama health care law will fail.
Chaos is going to reign, so I tell the folks in Alaska, we trust you with the money better than we trust a bureaucrat. I hope you'll take us up on the offer and look at it and reconsider.
Graham's bill would end the subsidies for buying insurance on the exchanges, and it would stop the enhanced federal match for Medicaid expansion. It also has a per capita cap on federal Medicaid funds. Instead, the states would get block grants and flexibility to design their own programs starting in 2020. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities says the block grants in the bill would fall substantially short of what states get now. Senior fellow Aviva Arendine says this and all previous ACA repeal bills would hit Alaska especially hard.
Our finding is that Alaska is once again one of the most harmed states, one of the states that faces a more than 35% cut in its federal funding relative to current law just from the block grant, and then is hit by the per capita cap.
By her estimates, Alaska would get $255 million less in 2026. Murkowski is telling reporters she wants to see how the bill will affect Alaska. She told NBC she's open to voting for it if she's convinced Alaska will not be disadvantaged. She said she's still waiting for that data. Senator Dan Sullivan's spokesman says Sullivan is still studying the bill, too. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Declining state support has Fairbanks city and borough government up against a financial wall. That was the message yesterday from local officials to the Chamber of Commerce. Here's City Chief of Staff Mike Meeks.
Bam! This is what the state's done to us as far as finances.
Meeks says the city has seen state assistance drop from an average of $1.7 million annually to $866,000 this year, and that it's expected to further dwindle.
If you assume we're going to zero, what's the next step?
Noting that the city is already underfunding infrastructure maintenance and that the police department is operating short-staffed, Meeks says the administration and council have spent months looking for things to cut and that the public has not come forward with any ideas except for tapping the city's permanent fund.
That permanent fund right now is sitting at about $128 million, and it generated $4.6 million in cash that we used to fund this government. If you did not have that money, that means you would not have that $4.6 million, and we'd be coming to you saying, we're either going to cut services or we have to raise your taxes $4.6 million.
Meeks says the situation has inspired a proposition on the October 3rd municipal ballot that asks voters to approve replacement of up to $1.7 million in lost state revenue sharing with property tax increases.
We're only going after what the state has done to us. We're trying to make that up.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough is also in a tight spot due to declining state support. Borough Mayor Chief of Staff Jim Williams outlined a precipitous drop.
Revenue sharing from the state has been very, very nice when we were fat with cash coming from oil monies in the $4-4.5 million range, and then just plummets right off starting in FY15 through FY18. That's trending down towards zero right now.
Short of voters increasing a cap that limits tax revenue, Williams listed a range of areas facing cuts, including public works, libraries, and parks and recreation. Williams says the biggest long-term issue is not saving for infrastructure maintenance and replacement, largely covered by the state in the past.
So the question is, under the old business model, which obviously isn't working now because the state's running out of cash, how are we going to finance this going forward? Because we're going to have to pay the piper.
Williams lists numerous borough facilities, including school, park, and fire service infrastructure that are aging out and will need replacement at a cost estimated at between $300 and $600 million. North Pole City Council has taken another step toward expanding the city utilities water system into areas where the groundwater has been contaminated with an industrial solvent that leaked for years from a now shuttered oil refinery. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The council approved an escrow agreement Monday with Wells Fargo Bank, the city, the state of Alaska, and Flint Hills Resources. North Pole Mayor Bryce Ward says that'll enable the city to pay the cost of expanding its water system to about 600 new customers whose wells are no longer usable because of groundwater contamination.
It essentially establishes the language and the account with Wells Fargo for payments to be processed for the construction of the water system.
The mayor says the council approved the measure to be able to receive money from the state and Flint Hills that will in turn be used to pay for the expansion work, which begins early next year.
As we move forward into the construction phase, there needs to be a mechanism for those funds to be paid out, and the escrow account allows us to do that.
The state and Flint Hills agreed last year to a settlement that'll provide up to $100 million to expand North Pole's water system. Flint Hills will pay 80% of the cost, and the state will pick up the remaining 20%. Flint Hills owned the refinery when company officials discovered in 2009 that it was leaking sulfalane outside its property boundary in North Pole. The company shut down the refinery in 2014, in part due to mounting cleanup and compensation costs. The State Department of Environmental Conservation says the so-called plume of sulfalane contamination in the groundwater is one of the largest in the state. It measures about 2 miles wide, 3.5 miles long, and more than 300 feet deep. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The state of Alaska has sold the Alaska Marine Highway Ferry Taku. Coast Alaska reports that Portland-based Keymar LLC made the winning bid of $300,000 for the 54-year-old ship. Marine Highway System General Manager John Falvey says Keymar beat out two other bidders who wanted to scrap the ship.
Their plan is to do some renovation on the Taku and turn it into a destination hotel and a waterfront activity center.
The Taku is tied up at Ketchikan's Ward Cove. Falvey says it'll be towed to Portland after the sale goes through and the new owners take possession. Falvey says the ferry system has removed the Taku's art and safety gear for reuse on other Alaska ships.
The $500,000 worth of equipment is being distributed to active ships in the fleet as needed as we speak. And some of the equipment will be used for the two new Alaska-class ferries.
The new smaller vessels are being built at a Ketchikan shipyard. State officials have been trying to sell the Taku since last spring. It was first priced at $1.5 million, then $700,000. The ship can carry about 350 passengers and 50 vehicles. It has 40 staterooms, a cafeteria, observation lounges, and a covered solarium. Built in 1963, it was tied up in 2015 as the Alaska Ferry System looked for ways to balance its budget. I'm Dan Bross.